It's a joy to be with you. It was great hearing the Caldwells sing, and I appreciate them so much. I'm a little disappointed tonight, and so is Mrs. Caldwell. My wife wasn't able to make it with me because her mother fell again and hurt herself bad and had to be in the emergency room, and all kind of tests run on her. She's black and blue from head to toe. From falling, she's got dementia, and she doesn't know in the nursing home that you can't just get up, especially when you fell and broke the femur right up by your hip real bad. And she doesn't realize that all she can do now is a wheelchair. And so this week she fell and broke her hand and then broke her wrist. And last night she fell again, 3 a.m., and my wife was at the hospital. And when I left this morning, she was still there, and I had to leave at 6:30 a.m. for meetings up above Greenville, and then drove 3 hours here tonight. So I'm a little tired, but I hope you won't get tired of me tonight. If you're not tired of Brother Caldwell, I don't think you get tired of me. No, I'm kidding. I love him. He's a precious man of God. I tell you, your bathroom, I went in the men's bathroom when I came in tonight, and I had to go back and look on the door and see if it said men. It's so pretty. It looked so feminine in there. I just didn't feel, you know, when I went out of there, I just wanted to go like that. I didn't know whether to use it or take a picture. It's just so pretty. Did you do that, Ms. Caldwell? She gonna bring them in on. Put something in there where a man thinks it's a men's bathroom. You know, put a picture of Brother Caldwell in there and we'll know it's a men's bathroom or something. If you will tonight, be opening your Bibles to chapter 42 of the Psalms. And let me just talk about our work a little bit. We're in Bearing Prince Seed Ministry, and you folks have been supporting it for years now. And some of you give beyond your tithe to help us get out the Bible around the world. And we've got translation teams working all over the 1040 window. And there's such need in different countries. For instance, this country right here, Romania. We're having National Bible Publishing Day every year, and that can be any month that works well with a church in their schedule. We have it in February to help us buy paper, and our folks give somewhere between 50,000 and 100,000. We're a larger church to help on this, but the need, it just breaks your heart. Because so many people need the Word of God around the world. We've got requests right now that would take $300 million to answer. The pastor said this morning, said, I don't understand after 93 surgeries and fighting two kinds of cancer, why Brother Ford still keeps going. Well, there's a reason. I've been to over 40 different countries, and I've been in the jungles. I've been in the largest cities in the world. And I find people everywhere, like in Russia, where when we had the Bible there, people would come up and just hug you and kiss you on both cheeks because they were so tickled to get a Bible and just tears of joy. And every day we were winning folks to Christ right and left in Russia. I was there in Ulyanovsk, that's Lenin City. That's where Lenin was born and raised. Matter of fact, they had Lenin's museum, and they had two of the houses inside the museum where you go through the house that he used to live in. And they're two stories high in a basement. And, I mean, you just go all through all that, and they have all kind of information on him. And they over there, he's like a god. And a lot of people worship Lenin. But we're over there, and we're giving the gospel and getting out the Word of God. One day, my interpreter, Anastasia, 16 years old, her mother and daddy were tortured for him preaching the gospel and her teaching ladies and children. They would just, after they got out of prison, they'd just go right back doing what they were doing. They did it in prison. They did it out of prison. And so they got so mad at them, they branded them from head to toe in hammers and sickles. Just branded them like you would a cow. And so they got it all over their face. They got it all over their body, but still preaching. But to make it even worse, during the winter time, and the winters get awful cold over there. Summers get really hot. I'm telling you, it was 120-something degrees while we were there. And it got dark at midnight. And it got light at 3 a.m. That was the shortest nights I ever had. But I couldn't sleep the whole time I was there. I was a burden for the people and little orphans everywhere in the street that women have just turned out because they couldn't take care of them. And the man that they were living with, over there in many of the major cities, there's 9 women for every 1 man. And so a man might have 2 or 3, 4 women that he's living with and taking care of because he can get a job and a lot of time women can't. A lot of them turn to prostitution. We found out about that real good, knocking on our doors every day and night. And we had to say, no, thank you. We're not opening the door. Some of our guys made that mistake and they came, pushed themselves right into the room and started undressing. I mean, they're forceful. They grabbed them and threw them and their clothes back out. But it's hard to give the gospel when they're undressing, you know. So you just put them out and give it to them later when they're clothed out in the street. But at any rate, all these little kids everywhere just broke my heart. And I'd walk streets at night. They told me not to do that, but I'd walk the streets at night and those little kids would be laying up under bushes trying to keep warm on cardboard. They'd be in doorways trying to keep warm from the warmth coming from the houses or coming from a vent in the city streets. I was so broken and crying so much. And Romania is just as bad, 'cause I've been and seen it. But I was crying so much the next day, Brother Gorge, he pastored church running over 1,500. And after we had the meetings there, they're running 5,000. But he said, you come with me, Brother Ford, today. And I said, okay. I said, will they get mad if I'm not in the streets witnessing and winning souls, passing out the word of God? Because we had them getting saved all over the place. And people just so tickled to get a Bible because it was some of them had one 40 years ago, but the communists took it away and burned them. And so anyway, he took me out to a tent city, those old Siberian tents that are warm in the winter. And he had them there, but the flaps were up because it was hot. And coming off the Volga River, we went down the Volga to the large... Volga River is, they say, as goes the Volga, so goes Russia, because there's so much commerce up and down that river. Some places, 23 miles across. We were off the river there and went way back in the woods. And I said, what in the world? The roads are all bumpy and, you know... I said, Brother Gorge, why are the roads so bad? He said, because the police won't come back here and the others won't come back because they think the roads are so bad, nobody would come back here. He said, so we come back and said, as we come, you notice I have a man out the back that's sweeping the road from the tire tracks. And we got back in there and here's this tent city. And little lean-tos here and there where they cooked. And here's kids everywhere. I said, what's this? Is this a camp for all the Christian kids come through? He said, these are orphans. They were turned out in the street. He said, we have police and soldiers we've won to Christ, and we're trying to win more to Christ all the time because, see what bothered me so bad? At night when I was walking, there'd be little kids, and there'd be soldiers or police with a needle, giving them a shot like you would put a dog to sleep. And they throw them on a truck and take them out and bury them in the dump because they say they're not going to make it. There's not enough food. There's not enough for these kids to make it. And they decide which ones look like they can't keep going. And they put them to sleep, throw them away like you would garbage. And that tore me up so bad. Couldn't sleep. I wanted to rescue every one of them. Matter of fact, I begged the police. I said, don't touch this one. Don't touch this one. I just saw you throw that one away. And I said, if you touch this one, you're going to have to go over me. And so they left that one alone. I took him back to my room and took care of him. And then, Brother Gorgie said, I heard you're hiding one in your room. I said, well, I'm feeding him, taking care of him. He can sleep there and everything. He said, he's just a little bitty fella. They were going to kill him. And he said, well, I'll pick him up today. Said, we find families for these children. Said, Christian families all over Russia in our churches, we find families. And he said, everyone in our church has 3 to 4 orphans besides their own kids that they're raising. He said, hard, rough, but we don't want them to perish. We're like you. And so I got to preach that day to 300 little orphans that were new to the camp and saw just about every one of them get saved. And, there's a world out there that needs somebody to care. It may be old women, like I've been in the mountains of Mexico, and a little lady walk up to me, and she said, we had given out all the Bibles, and she came up, and she's 88 years old, and she said, no la Biblia por mí, señor? No Bible for me, sir? And I said, no la Biblia. Boxes were empty. And she laid her head on my shoulder and wept, and she said, but everybody got one, but 10 of us, what are we to do? And I talked other people into sharing until we could get back with more Bibles. But we'd given them out in the bigger cities and the bigger villages of 1,000 or so, and there was 88 people in this village. And everyone but the little kids got saved. And that lady had got saved, and she wanted a Bible. 8 miles back in the Sierra Madre Mountain, only way there was by donkey and burro. You ever ridden in a wooden saddle? It'll do something for your backside, I'll tell you that right now. I carried baby powder with me, and everybody was laughing. You're putting baby powder in your, And they're laughing. About halfway up, they said, can we have some of that baby powder? I said, no, because you laughed at me. No, I shared it with them. But, sometimes you laugh and sometimes you cry. But all the time you carry a burden. Because people in Romania, the missionaries and national pastors have been begging. And people like this lady that got saved over there but didn't have a Bible. We need 30,000 Bibles. We just printed 15,000. We need another 15,000. We're out of paper. We just printed 10,000 for Sierra Leone military in Africa. There's some Ebola in this country. But there's a missionary there named Piper, Brother Roddy Piper. No, not Roddy Piper, but Brother Piper. I think he's a wrestler. But anyway, or used to be. But I was just kidding. But anyway, there's a missionary, Brother Tim Piper, and he's a precious man of God. He won the head of the military in Sierra Leone to the Lord there in Africa. Now that military general wants every one in the military there, 15,000, to have a Bible. We just did 10,000. We need paper for 5,000 more. But we did this in one country. And in the first month, because the military men got the Bible, they started reading, and there's helps in it to help them get saved. And then their wives, their children begin to share, and relatives, neighbors. We had 1,000 saved in the first month. Amazing. And we're hoping that'll happen here. 60% of that country is Muslim, worship Islam. Then Thailand. We published a language that had never been published before in the history of the world. We're doing a lot of that lately. 3 to 5 new languages every year as our translators work so hard day and night. We went back in the mountains and the jungles, and when the Bibles came, now we still lack about 15,000 here, but when those first Bibles came, they were beside themselves. They were running around the village. They were running all over. And we went into Africa with, there's 400,000 people that we translated the language that they'd never had the Bible in their language, and between 350 and 400,000. And when we came in to the villages, they were jumping up and down. Women, men, boys, and girls, just like jumping jacks. I mean, you thought they were practicing for basketball, jumping. And they were going up and down, and they were singing, the godly men are coming. They're bringing the word of God. We will have the word of God that tells of Jesus and his love, and we will have the book that tells us of our God above. We will have the book that tells us how this world was created. We will have the book where we can be completed. And they're singing. They're making up stuff as they go. And we go to different villages, and it's the same thing, jumping up and down. Have you ever handed somebody a Bible that's never had the Word of God in their language and history? Does something to you. I'm telling you right now. And before I knew it, and I can't do that now, but I was jumping up and down before I got out of there. And they called me the jumping preacher there for a while. Another country we're working on is Nepal. Now, Nepal, this is back in the Himalayan mountains, the largest mountains in the world. And in Nepal, they haven't had the Bible. Missionaries have gone back in the Himalayas and these villages and things, and national pastors, and they've won several thousands of them in there to the Lord. And they want a Bible. They've never had a Bible in their language. So we're printing that. We've still got half of the 30,000 to go. So please pray for us as we work on languages like this, and this year, and other languages. And, well, I'll get that later. But let me just share with you real quick some of the things we did. Now, in our mission conference in September, we had a five-day mission conference. And during that 5 days, here's what our people did. We produced and shipped out 915,529 scriptures. That's just short of a million in 5 days. That's what our big press and our inline equipment can do. None of it fit in here. It's just too small. But anyway, 256,216 went to Uganda. Other countries that received scriptures during that time are Spanish-speaking, Amharic, Romanian, Portuguese for Brazil. Matter of fact, this summer we shipped 1 million scriptures to Brazil for the World Cup. And boy, we had them in different languages, and the people would come out, and we'd say, "Where are you from?" And a lot of them speak English, and they'd say the country. We'd say, "Well, here's your language," you know, and they were just shocked. And what a blessing it was! Our folks had a great time over there. I preached in Brazil many times, and y'all know Jimmy Rose. Jimmy's one of my best friends. Matter of fact, I surrendered to preach under Brother Jimmy's preaching, and then I surrendered to go to Bible college. And I said, "You graduated from Bob Jones. Where shall I go?" He said, "Tennessee Temple. You need to sit under Dr. Lee Robertson." I said, "I live in South Carolina." I said, "What's wrong with Bob Jones or Tabernacle?" I said, "You're a member of Tabernacle Baptist Church." He said, "Just go to Tennessee Temple." And then Brother Melvin Aiken, I said, "Brother Melvin, you're Dr. Seitler's assistant. You're the head of the college. Where shall I go?" He said, "Tennessee Temple." I said, "Man, y'all aren't recruiting too good here, you know." But anyway, I did go by Bob Jones, and I had my King James Bible. They said, "You won't need that so much here." I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "Well, the New American Standard Version is the one that we approve of mostly." And I said, "Well, I don't think I'll be coming here then." So anyway, That's what happened in those days. But anyway, we printed Amharic, Arabic, Swahili, French, English, and we shipped out even Japanese Bibles, 100,000 Japanese. And, well, we just started doing the Japanese John and Romans, our translators. There's not been a good Japanese Bible that we could print. Now, I know there's missionaries over there that use Bibles, but they're more like the NIV or the old American Standard and New American Standard, and they remove the blood here and there and deity and put in different things, and we just couldn't publish it, even though good missionaries have used it. But we're working on that translation. But we've did 100,000 John Romans that they're using in soul winning. And then we printed 64,334 Cebuano New Testaments for the Philippines. We print 6 Filipino languages. And boy, we got a long way to go. There's 80 different languages in the Philippines. There's over 100 in India. We just printed, got it translated, the Thado New Testament for India. Several million people speak Thado. Never heard of that. And until we printed it and they translated it. And they're working on finishing the whole Bible. And then we sent 252,000 to Hungary, 204,852 to Kenya. This morning our church was in, this beautiful little girl, college student, just got back from Kenya. And we swapped stories about Kenya and the need there. She said, "I cried a lot over there." I said, "I cry a lot in every country just about I go to, because they just break your heart with the needs. And would you pray for us? There's so many coming to us begging for the scriptures. The only thing that's stopping us is finances." And as I said before, I believe every Christian ought to have a place in their wallet for the Word of God and to help produce it. And some of you folks do, and I'm so grateful to you and so thankful. Every month, y'all have been faithful to send out. Now, let me hurry up and preach this message from Psalm 42, and I'm going to start reading in verse 1. "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Chapter 43. "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles." Let's pray. Father, bless your word tonight. Speak to our hearts and do that which flesh can't do. Do that which only the Spirit of God can do in each of our lives. And I need a touch from above, so speak through me, I beg you, in Jesus' name. Amen. This psalm is written to the chief musician, Maschil. Says that in my Bible up by the chapter. And it's for the sons of Korah. Now, you may have heard the name Korah. Korah led 250, he had 250 followers that followed him in his rebellion against Moses. They rebelled against God's man. He rebelled against God's plan. And ultimately, he rebelled against God. And God created a new thing in the earth because of their rebellion. He opened up the earth and it swallowed them up. And they were gone. Well, the sons of Korah, they learned from their father's mistakes. And they became singers and songwriters for the Lord. Singers of the Psalms. They wrote songs and they sang songs. And you know, just because your parents went bad or influences around you are bad, you don't have to be that way. You don't have to follow the leadership of those. There's always somebody in churches that's trying to tear up the church and getting people disgruntled and trying to get them to leave. That is something that you don't have to be part of. You don't have to take part. You can be what you need to be for Christ and not be what they want you to be. But in this psalm, there's something wrong. This fellow is down the dumps. He's depressed. He's distressed. He's in a mess. And a lot of preachers have preached this first verse of chapter 42. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And they use that verse and they say, oh, we need to be like that little deer, that heart that runs to the water. The dogs are chasing him. The hounds are after him. The hunters are after him. And he's running. And they say, those hunters, those dogs, that's the type of the devil. And they're running from the devil. And they come to the refreshing water brook, and they type that as the Word of God. And they get refreshed from the Word of God, and they can keep running ahead of the devil. And I've heard good preaching on that, but that's not what this guy is saying. He's just wore out. He's just tired. He's not running from the devil, he's running from God. And a lot of people give the devil too much credit. Sometimes it's just the old flesh. But in verse 2, we see, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He is away from God. Matter of fact, he's absent, number one, from the presence of God. In verse 2, he said, when shall I come and appear before God? He's not having a relationship with God. And in verse 6, now, he's a Jew. He should be in Israel, but he's nowhere near there. He's over in Jordan. He's over in the Hermonites. He's at Mount Hermon there, these mountains. And he's on the hill of Mizar, which is just off of Mount Hermon. And he's living there on a hill. Now, those people that are there are enemies of Israel. They don't worship. They offer their children and to the sun god and burn them up in fire. They have orgies. They do all kind of things that are wicked. And that's the crowd he's around. And so he's absent from the presence of God. And the verse, end of verse 2, proves that. When shall I come and appear before God? He should be back where he ought to be. You know, some people leave an area because, well, I can't find a good job here, so I'm going to move somewhere else. And they move somewhere else, and there's no good church. There's nothing going on spiritually. When I was pastoring up in Etowah, Tennessee, I visited a man, and he had been a deacon in Jack Hiles Church. Matter of fact, every time he'd go back up there, to the area because the job transferred him down there after being a deacon there for 15 years. He got transferred, didn't like it at all. but they offered him a much better paying job, so he left. And so he's down there. Every time he'd go back, Dr. Hiles would pat him on the back, have him come up in prayer and brag on him. I visited him over and over. He wouldn't go to church anywhere. He said, there's no church like First Baptist of Hammond. And I can't worship unless I'm at First Baptist of Hammond. I said, well, God's everywhere. And the Lord Jesus, I mean, you got the Holy Spirit in you, right? If you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit. And I said, and you got the Bible. And I said, I can find a church somewhere that I can get something. And I said, I know our church doesn't run but about 100 right now. We grew to 300. But I said, and we don't run in the thousands, and there's only 5,000 people in this town, and we got 30 churches. And I said, and we were the only independent Baptist. And I said, and you've been to the Southern Baptist Church? Oh, I went to that big church, all the fancy stuff and everything. I felt pretty good there, but the preacher preached out of the wrong Bible, and I couldn't keep going there. I said, well, man, why don't you come and help us grow? Dr. Hiles didn't start off with the giant church. Can't you come help us grow? And he said, no, I just don't feel comfortable in a little bitty church. And I tell you, some people get away from God. You know, two things must be present in our lives for spiritual development. One is personal individual development. Amen. You need that. And that's from the Word of God and prayer. If you don't have that arm going for you, you're just one-armed because you go to church. And you need to be in church under the man of God because that's corporate development that you get. The one is personal, individual development. The other is corporate. And so you get it from the preaching and the teaching and what goes on in the local church. And if you drop the arm of Bible reading and prayer and you got this other one, before long without this one, that one will fall down.
That's right.
And you won't have anything to fight against the devil. And we need those things to do battle against the old smutty face, slew foot, whatever you want to call it. We need it. So he's absent from the presence of God. And the devil will get you so busy that you'll cut off one of those arms of development if you're not careful. And secondly, let me say he was taunted by unbelievers. Look at verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where's thy God? Where's your God? You know, back in that day, competition wasn't so much in sports as it was in who's got the best God. And you know, when Moses was in Egypt, God really sent him back there to do battle against those gods and show him who the real God was. And I mean, they worshiped Molech, they worshiped Baal, they worshiped Ashtaroth, they worshiped Hophni, they worshiped Apis, they worshiped Osiris, they worshiped Isis and Nut and Men. Oh, they had the gods. But Moses showed them that there was one God greater than all the other gods.
Amen.
And but he was taunted by unbelievers. Where's your God? They'd say, my God is Baal, and he's the God of fertility. And look at my crops, how they're doing. And look at all my stock, my livestock, my cattle, my sheep, my goats, my mules, my horses. Look at all that, how good I'm doing. And there you are down in the dumps. And where's your God? Where is he? Show me. Show me what your God's doing for you. You're sick all the time. You have surgery after surgery. Oh, that's me I'm talking about. But anyway, or you had this car wreck, or you had that injury, or you lost your wife, you lost your husband, you lost your son, you lost your daughter, your kids are like living like the devil. And where's your God? My kids, they're helping me with all this nice stuff I got. They work for me. And see what they don't understand. They'll say, why are you in financial trouble? What they don't understand is God uses some of these things to bring you closer to him.
Amen.
He uses them in your life to help you be better and not bitter. And the lost world sometimes just doesn't understand. So he's taunted by unbelievers. And thirdly, he was haunted by the memory of better days. better days. That's like that Howells guy, better days. And he'd always talk about those better days. And I was up there one time at Dr. Howells' church for some deal, and they had him come up, patted him on the back. I started to say, he hadn't been to church in 2 years.
Amen.
I didn't, of course. They'd probably run me out. But anyway, in verse 4 he says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. He used to go to church. He said, I went with them to the house of God. He used to be involved. He used to go to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. Man, back in those days, had such joy, had such praise. I was involved in the things of God and with the multitude of us. We kept holy day. Man, we was having a time. Well, he's remembering those days and he's haunted by it because in that wicked land he was in, there wasn't any of those days. Wasn't having any of those days. You know, the days of the Texas tornado evangelist that comes in and people just come and fill up the tent or fill up the church and then hundreds are saved. Well, we may not be seeing those days anymore. And we don't have any Spurgeons, but we've got men of God, women of God, people of God that are still serving God. You know, God still saves. He's not dead. He's not sick. He's not got, had 93 surgeries. He's not got back trouble. He's not got leg trouble. He's not got, and some of us have brain damage. But anyway, but he doesn't have that problem. He's healthy. He's powerful. He's loving. He's caring. He answers prayer. He may not be doing all the big things you want, but he sure is doing some awful good things. And if we'd get busy for God, he might do some big things if we just let him. We hinder him. And then let me say this. He was overwhelmed by trials. Absolutely overwhelmed by trials. Look at verse 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. He said, I'm drowning. I'm just drowning. It's so bad. He's down in the depths. He's overwhelmed with depression. I have 30-something widows I pray for every day. I call them every so often. Seems like God's always... I did have 10, but they keep growing. Some of them are men, some of them are women. Some of them I support financially. You say, how do you do that? I've been trying to figure it out. But we give 60% of our gross income to the Lord. My wife said, how in the world can we live like this? I said, God will just take care of it if we do what God leads us to do. And she said, well, he's always leading you to do something. Well, I said, I see you slipping people money here and there. She said, well, it's my money. I said, well, she said, but that other is our money. But she's a precious lady. She sometimes she wants me to give more than I do give. But anyway, this fellow's down in the depths. You know, some say Job is a book of sorrow. It's a book of suffering. But you know, it's not so much a book of sorrow and suffering, though some bad things happened to Job there, as the devil said, just let me touch him. Just let me get a hold of him. I'll show you. Well, the whole proposition was, will Job still serve thee? Well, we found out, yep. Though he slay me, I'll trust him. I'm still going to serve God. It doesn't matter. I may be hurting. I may hurt in so many ways that I don't understand all of it. But I'm going to still serve God. And the proposition of that book is, will he serve? Will he serve with all this going on? I've seen so many people drop by the wayside when tough times come. I've seen men or women just quit altogether. I've seen men that weren't too old quit the ministry when their wife died suddenly. I've been to 10 funerals this year so far. 8 of them were my buddies. They died of the same kind of cancers I have. And my doctors keep cutting out cancer and cutting out cancer. And these tumors keep coming back, and they keep cutting them out. So every few months I go in and be cut on to get these cancerous tumors out. You say, well, what are you doing in the hospital? You down in the dumps? No, I'm trying to win everybody I can to the Lord. I was in there the other day, early in September, and I'd been witnessing all out, and I got in the operating room, and I said, oh, you're Judy. She said, you remember me from last time. I said, yeah, you're the anesthesiologist. You're going to put me out in just a few seconds, aren't you? She said, I'm going to start right now. I said, well, I'm going to start preaching right now. So I started preaching and giving them the gospel of Christ, and for 5 minutes I gave the gospel. Then I started leading in prayer, and the doctor came in, and I heard him as he went over by Judy. He said, why isn't he out? She said, I've given him 4 times as much anesthesia as it takes to knock out anybody. Said it ought to knock out a mule, an elephant, a horse, or whatever. But he's still praying. And I got through praying, and I said, amen. And that's the last thing I remember. But when I got in the recovery room, the recovery nurse said, well, you coming around? I said, whoo, everything's really woozy this time. She said, well, you had 4 times more. You got in there preaching, and the Lord wouldn't cut you off. She said, they're talking about that. Several of them are really under conviction. I said, well, you help get them saved, would you? She said, I think the Lord's going to do that job. I said, well, sometime he needs somebody to prod it. She said, well, I'll do what I can. I said, well, give them these tracks. They had me naked, and I couldn't pass out any tracks. I didn't have any pockets, you know. On those gowns, they put you in those little things, and then they, you know. So I said, go in the locker. They're in my shirt pocket. Grab you a handful of those to give out to them. There's about 10 in that room. And I said, be sure the doctor gets one. He got in on the tail of things and didn't get the whole thing. So next time I'll wait till he gets in there to go out. Amen. No, you don't have much choice in there. Usually in 2 to 3 seconds, I'm gone. But God works in mysterious ways. But, you know, people get down the dumps. People let things just set them aside. Say, oh, no, here's the 6th time they're going in to remove tumors. When is it ever going to stop? A friend of mine said that. I said, well, mine hadn't stopped, and I don't have any problems with it. It's just an old body that keeps getting operated on. And while I'm in it, I'm going to do everything I can for the Lord. And it may hurt when I stand up to preach, and my ankles may be so stiff when I get through that I can't hardly get down. But then my back may go out sometime. That's why I hold on to the pulpit real good, you know. You say, well, aren't you walking around? I might fall down. That's why I'm not walking around. I was in one church, and I used to move all over. And I was preaching, and I went out to the edge, and I'd come back, and I'd go out to the edge, and people were going, you know, because they saw me limping around. And finally, I went out to the edge and just went right over on the floor. And the pastor said, Brother Ford, we just had a vote. I said, what do you mean you had a vote? I didn't see any vote. He said, yep, we all voted that you stay behind the pulpit and hold on to it and don't you move away from there. I said, because you're not too steady. I said, I've been going steady with a woman for 50 years. What you talking about? Real steady. But anyway, he was overwhelmed by trials. And then, let me hurry, he was upset with God's failure to answer his prayers quickly. Look at verse 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. Amen. And in the night his song shall be with me. Praise the Lord. And my prayer unto the God of my life. Doesn't that sound good? And then in verse 9, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? You forgot me. Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Lord, you forgot me. You just left me over here in this place, and you've forgotten me. No, you've forgotten him. You shouldn't even be in that place unless you're going to be a witness for God, a testimony for God, accomplish something for God, and not be down in the dumps. But he was upset because God didn't answer his prayers. One lady said to me, I prayed and prayed for my husband. And I was so sure God would answer my prayers. But now he's gone. I said, he's not gone. He's doing better than he ever has been. He's in heaven. He's with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with who? The Lord. And I said, I may be going pretty soon. I don't want my wife going, oh, I can't make it anymore. I don't have my husband. If you're leaning on your husband, if you're leaning on your wife, if you're leaning on your kids, you're leaning on the wrong ones. There's a song about leaning on Jesus. And we ought to be leaning on the Lord. We ought to have the Word of God to build us up and shore us up and steady us up to where we don't fall this way and that way and run off this way, and get away from God. But he's upset. You know, George Mueller's mother prayed for 25 years for her son to get saved. She died, and he was unsaved. But at her funeral, he got saved. And he started an orphanage, and the prayer life of George Mueller, all us preachers, we know about it. We've read his story. We see the millions and millions of dollars that he prayed in. He wasn't out begging for money everywhere like I am, but he just prayed it in. And Dr. Gardenhouse said one time, he was the head of the Jewish missions and in Chattanooga, and he said, you can stay in your room and pray if you want to, but I'm going to let people know where they can know how to pray. Because I know how to pray, but they don't know how to pray, so I'm going to help them learn how to pray for our ministry. And we go. Paul went place to place to place, and God took care of him. Sometime he had to make tents. Sometime we've had to. But churches helped him. And that was a blessing, and the Bible teaches that. But then lastly, let me say he's depressed by the attacks of the ungodly. Look at chapter 43 and verse 1. Judge me, O God, and please my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. He's depressed. I mean, he's got depressed over all these different things, and now he's depressed because he's among the ungodly. He's in an ungodly nation. He's over there in the area of Jordan, the land of the Moabites. And he's depressed. Deliver me. Well, what are you doing over there to start with? Pick up and leave. Get back in the will of God. But no, you know, we live in a nation where television's trying to make the homosexuals, the lesbians look like they're just part of the family. And marriage between a man and a man or a woman and a woman is just wonderful. Well, if they didn't have artificial insemination and all that stuff, and everybody went that way, there wouldn't be many kids around, would there? Wouldn't be much youth. And God did it right in the beginning. Amen. And the Bible points it out plain as day. I had a homosexual tell me, he said, I read the Bible every day. I said, did you ever read Romans chapter 1? Did you read over there in Sodom and Gomorrah? Did you ever read what God said to do to homosexuals? Stone them. He said, that's awful cruel. I said, well, that's because the sin is awful wicked. But God loves you, and he wants to save you if you'll just get right. And, we get tired of this kind of stuff before us all the time, forcing this and that. And in Columbia, they just appear there and have a big rally. And everybody's, whoo, news media, you know. Well, we live in an ungodly nation with a Muslim president. Throws down his mat and prays with 50,000 of them. Canceled the day of prayer, but he prayed with 50,000 Muslims. And he's got his mat. He knows all about it. And he, one of the Secret Service men, said he faces Mecca every day and prays on his mat to Allah. And, there's a lot going on in our country to destroy it, make us a third world nation. And we need to vote in the right kind of people where we can get our nation back. But a lot of Christians stay home and don't vote. But he's depressed all around him. Wickedness. You know what you can do about your depression? You can do what he mentioned. Look at verse Psalm 42 and verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? That means upset. Disquieted means upset. You're worried. You're agitated. You're uneasy. And he said, why are you like that? And he says here, hope thou in God. You know, he took inventory of himself and he shook himself from his self-pity. And he said, I'm going to find hope in God. Amen. That's where our hope is.
Right.
It's in God. It's not in jobs. It's not in a perfect nation. It's not in a perfect world. It's in God.
Right.
Did you know they say a third of the earth, the Bible says, is going to burn up? Did you know the largest volcano in the whole wide world is Yosemite National Park? They say if that thing explodes, and I've been out there, Old Faithful is being more faithful, and a lot of the geysers are just going, the water's bubbling, some of the water they used to fish in is bubbling now, and it's getting toward blowing, they say. Seismic activity is more than it's ever been, and they just wondering when it's going to go. Well, if it does, it'll burn up most of America. There'll be such ash coming down, it'll get most of Canada and down into Mexico, Central America. A cloud of that stuff will go all over the world and stop airlines and everything from happening. So you worried about that? Not in the least. People got all kinds of things they worry about these days. But man, let's have hope in our God. That's where the hope is. And then secondly, he challenged himself to do what he should do. He said, for I shall yet praise him. We ought to be praising God, not sitting around figuring out, well, will this work? Will that work? Is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? Am I going to be able to feed my family? Am I going to do it? Hope in God and then start praising God no matter what's going on. My wife said, honey, you're getting more deaf every day. Said, you're preaching louder and getting deafer. And she said, now, you know the doctor told you you got to have those $6,000 hearing aids to stop that. I have what they call, up there they call it, tinnitus. Or tinnitus is what I called it, but they call it tinnitus. And so the doctor said, the audiologist says that if your tinnitus is so high, that no matter what they turn up loud as they can, you hear it over everything. I said, yeah, I hear it all the time. I hear it when I'm preaching. I hear it when I'm sleeping. I hear it all the time. I wake up to it. I go to sleep to it. They said, isn't it driving you crazy? I said, well, I'm crazy for Jesus, so that's the only crazy I know. She said, well, it does get to you sometime, doesn't it? I said, well, I wish I didn't hear it all the time. She said, well, that is going to make you deaf pretty quick if you don't get hearing aids. And said, "You, when we ran the test on you, you hear in this area. You don't hear up here in the higher area, and you don't hear down here in the real low area. And my wife called me on the phone this evening to see how I was and where I was. And I said, I'm in between up in the Greenville area, and I'm in between Columbia, and I said, I got in this Clemson crowd, and they're just about to run me off the road. They're driving crazy. And they're coming back from the ball game area back down here where they ought to be pulling for the coach. But anyway, the I'm a Gamecock fan. But anyway... I used to raise chickens, so forgive me. I never raised tigers, I'm trying to preach and hear y'all laughing. But anyway, I'm trying to get you from being depressed. Amen. I want you happy. But he praised the Lord. And then he reminded himself of a great certainty. God is the health of my countenance. You know, if God is the health of your countenance, then he'd take care of this. He can take care of this too. Some people are just, you know, when they're depressed, the whole body shows it. You know, but God can take this countenance here. Is not just talking about this area. It's talking about the whole area. And God can change that. If you'll just hope in him, praise him, he'll be the health of your countenance. And he knew where proper guidance came from. Look at verse 3. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. That's what we're trying to do in the Bearing Fruit Seed Ministry. Send out the light and the truth. But he realized that he needed the light and he needed the truth if he was going to get out of his depressed, distressed, despondent lifestyle. And may God help us to not get distressed, but get impressed with our Lord, so that we're praising him and praying to him and loving him as he wraps us in his love. And the more I read this love letter, the more I fall in love with him. Are you reading it? Are you loving it? Are you trying to get it out to those that desperately need it? They need a love letter too. They need somebody to care too. Now, Father, bless Pastor as he comes. And Lord, help us to live for you, to praise you, to love you the way you need to be loved. And Lord, no matter what happens, one day I may be back in a wheelchair. They tell me that's going to happen sooner than later. And then they tell me that I don't have long to live. But Lord, they don't know. But while I have breath and life, I want to keep going, and I praise you. I praise you that here's a man 79 years old, still pastoring. A lot of them retired by this time. And Lord, we got to keep going for you. Thank you for the Caldwell family. Thank you for the blessing they are to so many. And thank you for the privilege of being here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
You want me to help you down?